Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sorry.
No, this is good. We're recording now. We're waiting for Jonah. I'm here with Felicia Day.
Hey.
Hi, Felicia Day.
Hey. What's up?
And Matt Myra.
Hello.
I wonder if we're getting the beep 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 beeps. Are we getting that from the
I'll
iPhones?
Let you know if I hear them.
Oh,
we're talking about spell check because
autocorrect.
Autocorrect is some of the words. It will correct real words to non-words.
Yeah.
And it's baffling. It's baffling to me.
I just like to point out we're sitting behind a filing cabinet that says Docker 90210 Season 1.
Yeah.
What is that?
Docker? Docker 90210.
We're in some sort of a...
Weird, but the bowels of the G4.
We're in the bunker of E.
Yeah.
It's weird. You know, because I reserved the conference room so we could do the podcast, and the conference room that usually we get... The ones with the windows, and you can see the tar pits, and it's nice
echoey,
outside.
It's really
But it's echoey. But now we are literally. It looks like we took a government job. You know what? This looks like first season of X-Files, where they put Fox Mulder
yes.
In that
in
that weird basement, and there's just like fucking boxes everywhere. There are files everywhere, and we had to scooch to one side of the table, which is piled high with boxes.
This is the web video edition of
the Online 2009.
The Nerdist podcast.
Who knows what's in here?
It's from Traffic Department.
Here's a fun story that kind of reminds me of this. I for the Streamy Awards, which are the web video awards this year.
I was there.
Oh,
you
were.
I saw
you
there.
Did you see me?
I saw you.
Oh, let's not go into it. But I was determined that someone was going to give me a free dress because the year before, everybody, all the other ladies were styled very nicely, and I, you know, had like a $100 dress that I got for half off, and I was like, hey, I won 7 awards last year, not unreasonably. I figure I could scram a free dress somewhere, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Did not prove to be as easy as I would have thought. Had I been a reality star, I would have had a boutique at my feet. But I had an assistant pretend, well, I had a friend pretend to be an assistant, and call around and say, Felicia Day, if you'll know her, and they were like, pass. They literally would take a couple days to think about it, and then pass on letting me a dress. So finally, I worked my way down the list, and I get to a place that said, okay, we'll lend you something. So I was so excited. I went to this the design center over in Beverly Hills, the really fancy place, and I go in, they're like, oh... Okay, go that way. And they lead me to the back room.
Oh,
serious sauce.
No.
And it was a rack of black and maroon. And this was spring. It's like black wool. Everything was like a size 8. And it clearly had been worn before. Like there was like some...
By other internet superstars?
By other like bigger superstars, like 5 months old. This was like probably on its way to Goodwill. And I was in the back room trying on like black sheaths while there literally was an MTV reality star in the front, like just frolicking among like, you know, pinks and
just having clothes fights.
Yes.
Just like throwing clothes at each other.
And I was like, this will never happen again. I will never try to be in again.
Well, okay, first of all, if you wanna run in that crowd, sex tape always works. Mm-hmm. Sex tapes always jack up there. I mean, it only works for ladies. For dudes, sex tapes.
That's funny.
I don't know if the Vern Troyer sex tape helped him any.
I feel like Tommy Lee got some boost.
He did?
Because of Pamela. It had nothing to do with him. And also his club-shaped cock probably helped a lot.
Really?
I know his ab says mayhem on it now.
I've never watched a sex tape.
You've never watched a sex tape, or you've never watched their sex tape?
I've never watched a celebrity sex tape, because I feel like that's gross, and I'm not really into that, and maybe I'll run into them one day, and it'd be awkward. Like, I already watched True Blood, and I'm like, really, because I know some of those people in passing, and I'm like, well, I know what your TDs
are. Well, True Blood now is like a gay sex tape. Like, every episode is like you know, shirtless dudes.
Butt pounding.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The show has become very, very homoerotic, and yet I think it's a fantastic.
Not unappealing.
I love it. I think it's a great show. I'm totally.
Yeah, I enjoy
it. I don't watch True Blood.
You don't watch True Blood?
I don't like vampires that much. My sisters both believe vampires are real.
There's also werewolves in it.
There are werewolves. What? I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah,
no, let's go back to what you just said. Your sister, what?
My sisters, two of them, they both think that vampires are real.
Hmm.
Are you adopted?
I wish I was.
That's odd.
Sorry, Mom.
Why is it that you're into NASA and computers and your sisters think vampires are real?
I don't know. They both list their religions as Wiccan.
Okay.
All right. So that adds up a lot.
Daughters of the Moon. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fine. We're still waiting for Jonah Ray, who's not here. Oh, by the way,
he can't find us. We're in the bowels.
You know what we are? We're in the fucking room of requirement. Like, you have to walk by and need this room in Comcast, and then the door will appear.
I'll just tell him to go where the 2006 E expense reports are filed.
It'll be clear.
They'll know exactly where to go. Oh yeah, that's right. Oh right, because I was in there trying to figure out where the Kardashians spent all that money on
there
those
you
shoes.
Go.
You know, the thing is, Felicia. And this should be a wake up call to clothing companies and people that should sponsor someone like yourself, which has a huge like smart nerd early adopter crowd that would talk about stuff online. More.
I would if somebody gave me free clothes, I would definitely tweet about it once a month.
Isn't it funny?
Why not? Right?
It's funny how because I think people, you know, they see you on television or they see me on television, and I think they just assume like. Oh, they're crazy millionaires. If you're on television, you're a crazy millionaire.
Oh, yeah. No, but people are like, I was complaining about some parking ticket or something, and then somebody with a snarky tweet like, well, why are you complaining about that? Like, I'm like rolling in my hundreds on my bed. It is ironic because being in the industry, you know that when people, you have friends on series and stuff, literally just get free stuff. They're turning away free stuff. They're literally giving away free stuff all the time. But the irony is that they are making, you know, they're making a lot of money. They could probably afford to buy their own
clothing. That's what's funny is the people who don't need it the most are the people get. Because like, if we were to find Joel McHale's office in this building.
Oh, free stuff. We would roll around.
It's his storage facility. Like there are more boxes in his office than right here. The finance records. Mm. And it's just like it's stacks of shoes and liquor and since Community, he's
shoes and liquor.
It's shoes and liquor. That's what people send Joel. You know what? Maybe liquor in a shoe just to sort of compact the
a flask in the sole of a shoe.
It's crazy. But I'm happy with what I get. Like, the stuff that I get sent are, like, little remote control land speeders and stuff like that.
I do, too. I get video games. So I am set, man. If I'm like, hey, I don't have a copy of such and such, like, immediately a friend of mine will be like, hey, no, I work there. Here it is.
That's awesome.
I do get hooked up with the stuff that are more of a priority to me.
Right.
And I have enough t-shirts, basically, to last my lifetime.
Yeah.
So I even from Comic-Con, I came back with like 15 t-shirts, and you can't turn them away because people get insulted.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hell yeah, I'll wear it. I don't have to buy more clothes now.
Yeah. I mean, I have a cabinet full of t-shirts, which I'm very excited
about.
You
find
about
that you wish that people would give you pants as well? Or?
It would be nice to have some shorts.
I feel like it. For some reason, getting sent pants feels weird. If someone just sent you, because sending a t-shirt's like,
what if they're broken in? It's not gonna feel
weird. But Matthew, it feels weird. Like to get a t-shirt is like, oh, here's a cool t-shirt that you can wear. To get pants almost feels like someone saying like, you need these pants,
you need
which
these
like
pants.
Feels
or
weird.
Socks. Yeah,
yeah, yeah pants or socks.
What does shoes and liquor say?
I think that's well, if you know, Joel wears snazzy shoes,
right.
and he drinks snazzy liquor, so they know him.
They know they know his essence.
Yeah, he's too Joel's too tall for pants though.
Sure.
They actually don't make pants as tall
he's
as
very,
he is.
He's long legged.
He's
a lanky man.
He's all leg. He has no torso. It's just legs and head. No, he is a tall man. If you ever see him If you like, whenever I do the soup, I look like a tiny compared. I look like an action figure.
Ever ask you if you want a box, like an Apple box.
No, because I think it's funny. Yeah. And I'm not super short. I'm just right.
not super tall.
I'm like
short.
He's just
really
tall. He's just
really tall.
Like the first time I ever met Andy Richter, I thought having seen him on television next to Conan, I thought he was a small guy. And then you see him, and you're like, oh, you're like 6'2". And then you see Conan, and you're like 8'9". Like, it's insane.
It is funny. Well, that's the first thing people say when they see you. Either you're taller, smaller, or whiter in person. That's
They always want to tell you how they're disappointed with the experience.
There's always something. I get a lot of, you're prettier in person, which I don't know what to say about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or like they'll say like, hey, I used to watch your old shows, and I never thought you were that funny, but your stand-up is funny now.
Yes.
And you're like, compliment?
Backhanded.
You have nice elbows. You have nicer elbows than I would have assumed. It was fun, actually. The last day of Comic-Con, I hadn't had time to walk around the floor, and so I just wanted to take a couple hours to check it out. And I ran into you, and then you and I traipsed around the Comic-Con floor, and it was a delightful blast. I had so much fun.
Yeah, I had not really been able to walk around either, and I was just I was a little comatose because it had been 5 days of intensity.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hey. And finally, having a companion to walk around with was so much more fun, and we took turns taking photos of each other with people.
With people, yeah. Because people would be like, people would hand me the camera and go, oh, can you take a picture of me and Felicia? Yeah. Oh, and can I take a picture with you? Like, it was so much fun. It's so deceptive when you go to Comic-Con because you kind of, did we talk about this the other night?
A little bit, yeah.
Where you go to Comic-Con and you're like, oh, I think I'm kind of famous, you know, because there's people around. And you go out into the real world where there's not as
many
nerds.
Nobody.
And then people are like, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah, but that's Hollywood. The great thing. Who would want to be recognized when they're at the coffee shop? Like this right here? This would be disappointing if it was on Facebook tomorrow because I just woke up.
I am so impressed by that. Like, the people are so nice. I mean, like, they're just – the Comic-Con kids
– I walked around with when I met up with Tom Lennon there.
Yeah.
We walked the floor a little bit, and then I was with you a little bit later. I got really good at taking pictures.
Oh, nice.
Of people with.
Just in one day.
It was – I took three that one time. Well, do you remember? It's like, no, that's not good.
Stay there. Oh, that was blurred.
Stay there.
Well, one of my bloggers reblogged your picture from Comic-Con.
Oh, the one. Oh, Kyla.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you...
Who I love. She's a really good friend of mine, actually. I found her first.
You did find her first. She's yours. I'm renting her from you.
If there was a world war, she'd be in my bunker now. I'm just saying.
But you took that picture with the characters from...
Mass Effect. Well,
yes.
Unbelievable. And I'm a huge Mass Effect fan. So when I saw Grunt, and I was just like, what the hell? And they have a whole blog on how they made those costumes.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, there's a whole, like, making of. So.
Well, it was kind of funny to watch you shrug off a couple of people who were like, hey, Felicia, can we take a picture? And you're like, hang on, Mass Effect, can I take a picture with you? Like, Felicia. But she posted that picture on my blog, and in the comments where I was like, I took this picture!
Yes, you did! It was so ironic that it's on your blog, and you took a picture
She had no idea that I took the picture.
No.
But I was very impressed with the con this year. Did you have fun?
I had a great time. I mean, you know, it's all work. It really is, because we have an actual booth there. So we have to make sure it's set up right. I had to put cubes together. You know, we have to make sure all our cast have their passes, if they have problems with their family. We have to make sure everybody's on time everywhere, and we have enough inventory. We have enough volunteers to monitor the line.
Mm-hmm.
And Kim Evie, my producer, took care of most of that. But I was literally scheduled to the 10 minutes for interviews.
Oh, wow.
And I even had some stuff come up in the middle of the con. Like, I got a job on Eureka. So they were like, can you come by the Eureka panel? I was like, you can have me from 4:35 to 4:47. And then I have to go do a dollhouse signing. So it was it was crazy. But I didn't really realize it till Sunday when I was driving home and I almost drove off the road.
Oh, that doesn't seem good.
It wasn't good. I should have
How long
stayed.
Did it take? It took me like 4.5 hours to get home
yes.
Sunday.
It was unbelievable. And you know, there's that whole section that goes to the military base that inevitably you're going to have to pee because there is no exit. Therefore, your bladder is going to be like, I need to evacuate right now. And then it's tense for 2 hours. And then you finally just find the nearest Carl's Jr. And then I overcame my my phobia about peeing without paying. And I just ran and I was like, I'm in, I'm out. I don't want a burger.
I still will get a Coke or something.
That sounds like a one to grow on kind of a thing. Pee to pay, kids. Pay to pee.
I never use a bathroom without buying something.
Thank you.
I can't. I feel
People
terrible.
Think it's weird. And no, I have a phobia terrible. About it. I wrote a sketch. It was the first thing I ever wrote in sketch class was a phobia about me peeing.
Really?
At McDonald's. Yes. First thing.
So you did buy something at Carl's Jr. You did
I
not?
I didn't. It was the first time in my life I ever did, and I felt so naughty.
Don't bother me. I'm peeing. To take off of the Carl's Jr. ads. Most people don't know those because they're called Hardee's in most parts of the country.
Hardee's. Is that why I didn't know them until I came out here?
Yes. They're the really grating commercials where it's like, burger, fries, and a Coke.
I was repulsed by the one they had with a girl who's eating and her toes are in frame. For some reason, that made me nauseated. It made me nauseated. It was a couple years ago.
Well, I have a weird cheeseburger foot fetish, so that was a confluence of masturbatory awesomeness for me.
Right there for your demo.
Just watching a chick eat burger with her feet in full frame.
I'm going to vomit.
Oh, sorry.
That would be a first on the podcast.
That would be, but it's an appropriate room for it.
You can throw up in the finance box. No one's ever going to open these fucking files ever again.
Traffic department.
Traffic department for E! Online.
Ever. Jonah's really late.
Well, it's what you get when you go to the airport.
Obviously, you don't just go to the airport to be like, oh, look at Encounter, which is never done.
No.
I just wanted to see it.
He should have taken Hauser.
That's what you had to take Hauser.
Yeah.
Oh, he's here.
Wait, where?
He'll never find us. Does he need a map? He needs like an unfurling cloth map.
We're in 4F, right?
Yeah, we're in 4F. Right. Do you want me to go get him or do you want to go get him?
It would be weird if you went and got him.
Are we going to pause?
Sitting here. Are we going to pause?
I need a tweet.
Do we need to go?
Do you want to take a tweet? Do you want to take a tweet pause?
No, I'm just kidding. I will, but.
Do you know how to get back here?
I don't know.
Oh,
Just stay here.
I just took these papers and left a trail of them.
All right. I know where we are. I'll be back in minutes.
Okay, so we'll.
Let's talk about how we can't pee without paying for something.
I can cut all this part out, so it's fine. That's
no, but this is really important because people think I have two things that I hate. And that is one of them. Yeah. I have a phobia about that. And then I will not. I can't go near cereal milk that's used. That really makes me
it's
sick
so
to
gross,
my.
Right?
Oh my
it's
god! So, we're BFFs
it's so
now.
Gross. Did you see that when they sold for a little while? I'll move this a little closer just so I can be heard.
Okay.
For a little while, they were selling like Fruit Loops milk.
Yes, I saw that, and I was gonna vomit.
Such a disgusting thing for people.
Okay, we need to talk a long time about this because people think I'm a total. Freak, because
it's
guys
disgusting.
Especially like to drink that milk, and I'm like, that is backwash milk,
no,
guys.
No, I don't care for it.
No, it's repulsive.
Mind you,
it's
I love cereal.
I do too, but it's like one use only, man.
And,
it's like a piece of toilet paper.
I
don't go back.
I mix cereals. I never go one cereal.
That's interesting.
I like a base of something that doesn't have flavor, like a Kix or a Rice Krispies.
Okay.
With a little bit of like Captain Crunch.
I can't do Captain Crunch. It tears my gums off.
It's rough. It is rough.
It's rough on the gums. It's almost like an exfoliant for your gums.
You throw it on the bottom, though, it gets more time to have some milk action.
True, it penetrates.
But that's disgusting. I thought that was the grossest thing. Fruit Loops milk.
That I don't know why they couldn't have sold much. I mean, it's like diabetes milk.
I don't
milk.
Think it exists anymore.
And it shouldn't exist anymore.
It can't possibly. And those cereal bars, have you ever seen those cereal
bars?
Oh,
those are not good.
Like, and what is that layer on the bottom?
I don't know.
It's supposed to be the milk part.
But it's like just it's
a dried
solid
layer of something.
Solid white layer?
Yeah. Oh, that's so gross.
I hope that they don't want to sponsor us next week.
I love cereal milk bars.
Wow. I like to eat. What I do, I go through phases where I think I'm a gluten. Gluten phobe, so I'll buy a lot of really healthy cereals and I'll never eat them, and then I'll open it and there are bugs in it and I'll throw it out. That's the life process.
So bugs get into it without it being open?
I don't know what's going on. I have like a bug infestation in my house and I'm very clean, and I close things with clamps. I probably have 100 clamps and I clamp everything.
I do a tight roll.
A tight roll doesn't work, man.
No?
Yeah, it'll get it. They'll get in there, the tiny bugs.
When I was a kid, I poured some Cinnamon Toast Crunch and it was just
ooh.
It was like ants and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
One time I went to a dinner and somebody was like, these are organic field greens. And I looked down and there was a real grub like moving. And I am so proud of myself because I suppressed the urge to scream and run because I was like, this is the first time I'm eating at this person's house. That'll embarrass them if they have a grub in their greens. So I kept trying to hide the greens and the grub kept moving. And I was like, choop, 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 move this piece of lettuce over it. So finally I was like, I'll empty the plates for you.
You couldn't politely put it in a napkin?
No, I couldn't. Well, it was moving, and I really wanted to scream, because I'm a little bit of a girl about...
Did you not want to kill it?
I kind of didn't. I don't like killing anything except for roaches. I kind of don't have a problem with roaches, but any spiders, I heard there's a proverb, like a Chinese proverb, or I don't know it, but it's about spiders that are good luck. So I don't like anybody to kill spiders.
I'm just aware of the fact that it will supposedly rain if you
Jonah
kill a spider.
Jonah's here!
Hey.
Jonah!
Hello.
Did you take Hauser?
That was the plan. Coming back up.
Here, hop over playing. There. Sorry. Hop over there. You're only 40 minutes late. It's fine.
I got this red chair for you. Nice.
This is a 5-hour podcast, right? Proportionally, that's fine.
Yep. We're just in the beginning of hour one. Strap it in, you guys.
We were just talking about how gross cereal milk is.
Yeah, it was kind of bonding.
What? Cereal milk is awesome. When you get to the bottom.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Do not ever say that.
No.
We were just
like
talking.
The last of the milk after you've eaten
exactly
the cereal.
Exactly what we're.
That's like
about.
The best thing.
Okay, wow. You guys are disgusting.
No, I always thought that would make the perfect like
they
you know,
made
like
it.
Nesquik.
They made it. They made Fruit Loops milk.
I'll
really?
Never
it was
ever
the
drink after
of
you guys.
Fruit Loops milk. I don't know how they made it.
I don't know.
I don't
powder from
want
the bottom
to know.
Of the box.
Listen, Jonah. I don't
we have
need
the science.
Science in this.
Are you in airplane mode?
No.
I am. I'm in airplane mode.
Oh, I should be now.
Just to be
here.
Safe.
Jonah, you're here.
Just to be safe. Oh, we all have iPhone 4s. FaceTime, guys. FaceTime.
I do not understand the appeal of FaceTime. I would never want to have to do my hair and makeup to do FaceTime with anybody, ever.
Well, first of all, when
I've
you're...
I've used it 3 times.
When you're iChatting, even just when you're iChatting with someone,
yeah.
After 30 seconds, you stop looking at the camera and you'd start acting like it's a phone call.
I browse. Yeah. I browse the web.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a new commercial for FaceTime the other day, and it was weird.
The one with the kid?
No, it was the one with the...
Sam does make that one, too.
The guy and this girl, and she has really short hair, and she was like, I don't know, and they just started cutting and cutting, and he was like, I thought it was going to be in the shape of a bob, and she's like, it's really short, isn't it? And he's like, it's cute, though, and then they're like, FaceTime, and I'm like,
that's
fuck, I hate those people, yeah. I don't fucking want
to. Those cameras, those front-facing cameras, there's no they're, angle to make it look good.
Thank you. It's almost like a fish lens, so
yes.
It makes your nose
it's total fisheye, you look terrible.
Yeah, I tried everything.
I had a professional lighting person come in.
Yeah,
yeah. Like if you try to get sexy with it, a vagina is going to end up looking like a penis because it's going to have this weird 3D fisheye effect.
She does have a giant clitoris.
That's the other problem.
Oh, wow.
That's the other problem.
I guess we can swear on this.
And her ovaries are external too.
And
her boobs are
that's
fake.
Probably what you were saying.
And she has to shave too. She has to shave her face, right? But anyway, she's totally
so
totally
weird.
Fine. And her name is Tyrese. But other than that,
wow.
She's totally
fine. Did you
totally
find
fine.
Us by knowing exactly where E keeps its 2006 expense report?
I feel like we're like
see, this will be
Milton
amusing to FaceTime
from Office Space.
Oh yeah, totally. That's a much better. That is a much better comparison. That really. Is.
But hey,
there's fucking unplugged TVs here. There's like this.
They would not notice if we took that TV.
No,
just took
no.
It. Nobody would care.
Not at all.
No one cares.
They might encourage it.
A sweet CRT Trinitron like that, I think they'd be thankful we removed it from the office.
A DVD player. DivX.
Yep. DivX. Oh. You can play DivX files on there.
Wow.
If you want.
Well, that's actually pretty.
So bad, yeah.
That's not so bad, actually.
wasn't DivX the name of the weird rental format? When DVDs first came out, they had a thing. Like, I remember Flubber for some reason being in this format. You'd go to, like, Circuit City.
Well, that's my benchmark. Like, you know,
Flubber.
Like.
My benchmark.
That's
for
what
most
I know. Like Blu-ray
life.
Will finally have arrived when Flubber
but,
comes out. On
yep,
Blu-ray.
Finally.
You had to have a DivX-enabled DVD player, and it plugged in via phone line, and it would dial up and let people know, okay, you're watching this DVD. Now you have 24 hours to watch it. Otherwise, it wouldn't work anymore.
Well, that doesn't seem clunky. I'm surprised
not
that didn't catch on.
That should have.
Maybe I imagined it.
And then Redbox was invented.
Guys, three words: step up 3D.
Oh!
So much dancing.
Woo!
I do not watch those, but I think I would like them. It's kind of like reality shows. I try not to watch them, but I know if I spend an hour, I would spend 8 hours watching people.
I just feel like it is an utter defiance of the technology of 3D, which is not that great right now anyway. I don't even think 3D is that great.
I don't want to go to any 3D movie.
I don't like it. It gives me a headache.
I saw Up and Toy Story, and I thought they were lovely. Because
okay,
they're not like supposed to be.
Yeah.
They're not like gimmicky 3D. It's just like, and it's done with computers.
You
so
just see a little bit of depth.
Yeah, you saw depth, and it was just nice.
I'm never sure if, like, this glasses should go over my normal glasses or behind them, and then, like, I switch them around. I don't even think I'm seeing it right.
I have a small nose, so the bridge of my nose, and the glasses are really thick, and I'm just spending the whole time just doing this, because they're, like, these glasses that start to slide down.
Oh,
yeah,
just doing this?
Yeah.
For podcast listeners, just doing this?
What I did was gave a thumbs up and did a 360.
And then I held up this many fingers.
And did something really. I did something really athletic,
look
everybody.
At this growth on my...
Oh, my God, look at that crazy thing!
And the dance went a little something like this.
Wow, Jonah's really stepping it up in 3D.
My God, I didn't know you were a popper.
And a locker.
Yeah,
he's a popper and a locker.
I tend to pop and lock.
My pop and lock routine. You can learn that.
Felicia Day, I'm so there have been so many requests to have you on this podcast.
There have been so many reschedulings between you and me.
I know. But we're finally making it happen in the Hall of Records here. And I am thrilled. I'm thrilled that you've come. I think people are going to be super psyched that you're on the show.
They might. I think I said boobies earlier. So.
Matt said clit, so I think, you know,
I
think you're okay.
Crazy.
I said clitoris.
Clitoris all right. is allowed.
It's not. I'm not.
You're a physician, correct?
Yes. I'm an OBGYN. First year.
Hey,
Dr. Smallnose. I'm Dr. Smallnose.
What was that awesome Wonder Shows and cartoon? DOGOBGYN.
I've never like, seen it, but it sounds.
It was like a weird Wonder Shows and cartoon where it was a dog. You know, vagina doctor.
Wow.
Wait. Oh, that's okay. No, that's different than the one with the Anna Pals. Funhouse, TV Funhouse.
TV Funhouse.
Which I have on VHS still, which are really awesome.
What are you going to do with those?
I don't know what I'm going to do with the TV Funhouse on VHS.
Just VHS in general?
No, I'm talking about VHS. I eventually just got rid of them because it makes me feel old. It's like my extra small pants. I'm like, those were a time that happened.
I held on to mine for a long time because I thought, oh, this is going to be like having a record collection.
Your extra small pants you hold on to for a long time?
Yeah, my small pants, and I frame them.
Yeah,
put the best
looking
ones.
Keeping mine in hopes that eventually.
Yeah, no, I held on to all my hands, like, three
buddy. Fastronaut.
No,
I had like 300 like VHS tapes, and I just slowly kind of pared them down, and then the only one I have left is a copy of Rad.
The movie Rad? The bike movie Rad?
Yes, never released on DVD.
You could convert it.
Why don't you digitize it?
I could. I downloaded a version of it, but
I have so many old like comedy specials and SNL episodes from the 80s from when I was a kid. I mean, like, you know, Cinemax Comedy Experiment with Emo Phillips, like these crazy rare things that I just, you know, I just haven't taken the time to digitize everything, but I should.
I expect you to.
Yeah, I know, but that stuff's going to degrade. Like all those VHS eventually. Tapes will degrade, and then they'll just be worthless. So why not?
You'll
know,
forget what they were, and you'll be okay.
Did you see the story about the guy who bought at a garage sale
the Ansel Adams?
The Ansel Adams plates.
Son of a bitch!
God,
yeah. I was at that yard sale.
I didn't buy it. It was like $45.
I was like, I want to spend $15 on these.
I love Antiques Roadshow. So that, I mean, that's kind of one of my favorite shows when I have time to watch. So the fact that that guy,
I like Cash in the Attic and Bargain Hunters on BBC America.
Those are great too.
I cannot stop. I would record them constantly, and I look to download torrents of Bargain Hunters. So if you're out there in England, could
really
you please
specific.
Just torrent it.
We have a. Is it on BBC?
It's on BBC America.
You know,
well, they have better stuff over there because they're older.
Yes,
they do. Yeah, they actually have things. They actually have antiques.
Yeah.
That go back to.
Yeah, like I was watching this special, and it was Terry Jones doing this medieval special or whatever on Netflix, and he's like, "Let's look at these expense reports for the king's inauguration from 1602," and they're like looking through these papers. I'm like,
"But guys, some parts of Los Angeles date back to 1925." I know, Jonah. It's crazy.
What are you talking about? You newsies?
Yeah. Hey there.
Hey there.
Extra, extra. Los Angeles is born.
I ain't no mall.
City on the move.
Your Morse code turned into song.
That's how music was invented. People took Morse code.
Yep.
Tap dancing. Just they wanted to communicate through tap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So we'll do our Morse code rock band.
I love it.
Oh my God, that would be funny.
Morse code rock band.
Dance Central is pretty fun. Have you played that? Dance Central that's coming out?
No.
It's fun. It's made by the Rock Band people,
uh-huh.
And it's with the Kinect, which the dance thing, and they have like moves. So basically,
moves.
Like the Latina, and it goes, you put your hand up.
They do. That's
like
weird.
They do. Exactly. But no, it's a really fun game. And
with
actually,
homosexual, that's not right.
Yeah, that is right. So, and you're saying that's going to be better than Dance Dance Telegraph, which I think is going to be
the hot
new game.
You're going to have to scope out the competition before we make this game.
Don't you mean Dance Dance Industrial Revolution?
Dance Dance Industrial Revolution!
Oh,
Jonah, that is joke writing right there.
That has been fun. Sorry, I was late, but I'm going to take off on a high note.
You definitely earned your 40 minutes right there.
Yes, right there.
And so you hear this dancing music, but then in the Telegraph you're actually translating. It's like, please send the physician. We have a lunger. Like,
stop.
It's all this old, weird, stop.
It's confusing because you're not sure if you're supposed to stop telegraphing or stop dancing.
Wait, do I stop? I don't know. No, you got to keep dancing.
Yeah.
It's just a telegraphing.
Stop.
That would be
four 7-year-old girls are dead in the textile mills. Come on.
Dance Dance Industrial Revolution is genius.
Let's go make a promo for it.
Someone yes. will.
I have a cloche hat.
Someone, could you, podcast listeners, could you please mock up a box?
Dance Dance Industrial Revolution.
Maybe an Xbox 360 game. Yeah. Dance Dance Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, same graphics as Dance Dance Revolution, but just put them in old clothes
Our audience gets it.
Yeah, or like put an 8-bit smokestack in the background.
I don't want it to be 8-bit. I want it to be for the Xbox 360.
Do you hate 8-bit?
I'm not. Listen, Dance Dance Industrial Revolution needs to take full advantage of the graphics processing of the Xbox 360.
Wow.
And wait, I think Dance Dance Industrial Revolution should be made by kids. We have to force kids. That's the other way it's going
to
work.
Child labor. Anybody 12 to 15?
So we got
to
shove them in there.
To power our game.
17-hour days. We got to send these kids to work. Get them in there.
Where you put soot on your face.
Yeah, we get the office is in a chimney. Like
they're
it's
all
just
smoking.
Like a spiral staircase.
They're all smoking.
I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts, which is known as the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution in America, and it's just these textile mills.
Mm.
And it's a national park, it's an urban national historical park. So every year for school we would take a field trip to the textile mills.
Was
every
it
year.
As interesting
it was
as the story?
As exciting as the story is.
Oh, okay.
You sound like it really was your formative years.
I'm just saying, why would they do that to us? It's
a lot
literally
of crazy things happen.
It's 2 miles from our school.
If they had a 3D reenactment of the children that are the same age as you working on a huge weavery.
Yes.
Is that the proper term? Fair weavery?
Enough. I don't know.
I think it might be. I like weavery.
Yeah, that's
guys,
I
it's a loom.
Okay, fine. It's loom.
I think with the and the loom tells you who needs to be assassinated and if it's people in your own
don't
clan.
Don't manipulate it.
Don't manipulate the loom. I think they were taking you kids there to be like, you better shut the fuck up and behave or you're going back to these mills.
Yeah. Literally for a while, I went to a school that was directly across the street from them and we would still take field trips.
Mm.
Across the street?
Literally across.
Did you have to get permission slips for that?
Yep.
Yeah, it's all right. You can go across the street
and
there.
And then my mom was the school nurse, guys. I have a lot of issues to work through.
Wow.
I could never go home sick.
And you worked in a funeral home.
I did that.
We're going to have to devote a whole episode to how you worked in a funeral
home.
Wait,
what?
Funeral funds.
Yeah. You worked in a funeral?
I sure did.
Like, he prepared bodies and stuff.
Dead bodies?
I helped. No, live ones.
I mean, at first.
We drummed up business by murdering.
Did you put makeup on people?
You would do some touch-ups.
So you good at that?
I'm all right.
I'm just thinking. I need a backup makeup person.
Felicia looks dead in this season of the Guild. Yeah. Well, I hired a mortician.
Well, thank you.
Do you want to look like an old soulless corpse? Then I can possibly.
I'm going for a Death Becomes Her look.
Viva siempre! Felicia, we have talked many times before about, and we sort of touched upon this earlier about how people assume like, oh, you're kind of famous. You must be a crazy millionaire. But you literally do everything on your show, pretty much.
So you're a billionaire, right?
On the Guild, it is a nonstop Felicia Day work train.
It is. At a certain point, I was just thinking this morning that I was so stressed out because I'm in post production, I'm in pre production, I'm about to go and do Eureka, and the problem is like all those things. Plus, you got to look pretty. It's two worrying things. There's a reason why
I hear you, sister.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's hard with the face and the
hair. Yeah, with the face and the thing.
We have been beginning to delegate a little bit more, just because I literally had a nervous breakdown earlier this year, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I quit.
Right.
And Kim was like, okay, let's do this. And she is awesome. She stepped in and really is doing a lot of the producing of the show, like getting crew together and, you know, doing notes in the script. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just me and her still doing everything,
mm-hmm.
which is really stressful because I have a to-do list a mile long that has to do with pre-production, post-production, DVD production, marketing, just making sure that the website is everything's tagged correctly.
All the shit I mean, purposely didn't go to school for.
Yeah.
Like, everything I've had to learn
all the
along
marketing
the way.
And all the...
Does it make it harder to like just hop into like performing all of a sudden like when it comes time to shoot?
It does because I'm always a little more flabby than I should be and my makeup I never like condition my hair on a long-term basis and I mean, you know, those things actually are important. Like people say, oh, your body's your temple, blah, 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 you know, actors. Okay, forget it. But it is true. You kind of have
I never got this memo.
You never got it?
If
you're a girl,
your body is shaped like a temple.
I get that. All set.
But, you know, every day I should be going to acting class and I should be doing vocal exercise. There are a lot of things as an actor. You just got to be prepared. Like, hey, you said you could do a British accent. Yeah. Go.
God,
you know,
damn it.
And you can't do it.
Remember the old studio? Not remember because we weren't there, but don't you just kind of wish that we lived in the studio system where the studio just pretty much was Rude the
you.
Cult that just
Hardwick,
did everything
you're
under, for you?
You're under contract,
and they were just
Hardwick.
Like, Felicia, go here, put on this dress, go yep. live in this house that we made for you. And
marry
and
then, this man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
he's
now,
gay, but, yeah.
but it's yeah. fine. You won't ever have to. You don't even have to sleep in the same room. You yeah. can have affairs, and yeah. here's some pills to make them. They make all the
dudes.
To make all the screaming go away.
Going to Palm Springs. Constantly.
Yeah, no, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it is. It's a lot, like just to do every day. So, I'm just a little tired. I just came from Comic-Con, so usually I'm a little more energetic. But
yeah, you don't realize how much that week takes out of you until a couple days after. And you're like, I am still not right. caught up. Somehow,
so tired.
And is that weird feeling you have, like you think you're about to get sick because of all the mouth breathers, just
yes.
like, their diseases when you're walking around?
And there's the sweaty atmosphere, so
yeah.
it's just like the germs are even more.
I'm a little germaphobic, so I've decided this year I can't do hugs. So
no
that's
hugs.
My cutoff. I mean, I feel bad, and people get their feelings hurt.
How do you,
hurt,
how
I'm
do you
like,
deny a hug?
I just tell them the truth that I'm really sorry, but I just now I have a policy because I got so incredibly sick last convention that I don't do hugs.
Sometimes I don't. I do them anyway.
Point of the hug approach.
I do them anyway, and I don't.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, you do them? Well, just
no,
make
no.
Me
but
feel
listen,
like a jerk.
No, I don't want you to feel like a jerk because there were a couple times, and most of the time the
Chris
hugs were fine.
Now.
Most of the time the hugs were fine, but sometimes. You would, you know, you'd go to hug someone, and I'm a hugger. I like to get in there and make it happen. And you would feel just wetness all across your arms.
There.
And yeah, it's hot and it's sweaty, and it's not their fault. They're totally nice people. But you still, as a human yeah. being, you should feel like, oh, I don't think my upper torso should be wet from another person that I don't know. Like, it was a weird...
Yes.
Like that part of it. But other than that, like totally, totally fine. Everyone was super sweet.
No, I had the best time. We met so many people. And the funny thing is that, you know, we've been doing conventions for like 3 years now. So I recognize a lot of our fans. Like, hey, Heather, and hey, you know, Brent. And
I noticed that about people
crazy.
When they come up to you to take pictures. They're like, hey, remember me from Dragon Con or
and I
whatever.
Do. Yeah,
yeah,
I do. Because I have a weird, I can't remember anybody's name, like here in this room. I don't know.
Right.
But but as far as faces, I totally remember people in a weird, really weird way. It's just one of those things I have. So I will remember people, and people look like, hey, you're lying, right? And I'm like, no, I don't know what your name is, but I remember your face.
I remember your face. Let me just scoop this part out of my brain
yes.
and put it in your brain so
exactly.
you can see that I'm telling you the truth.
Like when Anthony Hopkins ate the brain of, what was it, Ray, in the Hannibal movie.
Hannibal?
And he's
is that
sitting
Hannibal?
There eating.
Yeah, yeah. Ray Liotta.
Brains out of Ray Liotta's head.
Oh, right,
Liotta
right.
Sitting there.
I didn't
right.
like that.
A
that
woman
like
in the theater, they had to stop the movie when I was watching it. They had to stop the movie because a woman at that point screamed, freaked out, and fainted.
Wow.
Okay.
What during the
heck?
Screening of Hannibal. That
was she an old dowager? Well, I never.
She was an old industrialist.
So let me ask you this, Matthew. Yeah. With someone who's had their brain partially scooped out and eaten, how would you make that up for a viewing, for a body viewing?
Do I have skull cap? Is the skull still there?
No, well, part of it's not there because it's been opened up so he can scoop
part
out
did
the
Did he
brain.
Lose it?
There's
but
a
I'm
lot
saying.
Of, there's
yeah.
a lot of, there's a compound, there's compounds and stuff you can put on. It depends. And you fluff the pillow a certain way to hide
is it a glue gun?
Wounds. It's not a problem.
Okay.
We can get it.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And if we need to have a closed casket, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for
that's
that.
Very, that's very nice of you.
Better for
very
the family
official.
If the viewing was.
Now I want to be buried in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Do you? We know we should make. We should make Hallmark cards for situations like that where
yes.
it says like, where you let the families know where the front of the card says, "Don't open this card," and then you open it and it says, "Just like the casket."
Sorry, nobody visited Grandma for those 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's just a picture of the body. Aren't you glad you didn't want to? These are reasons.
See.
This is
I like it.
Now, Felicia, when I met you, it was, I think, during a Wootstock here at Largo
what?
In Los Angeles.
Yes, it was.
And you sang Date My Avatar.
Date My Avatar acoustic.
Which was great.
It was really
great.
Fun. I really yeah, wish, yeah, I was going to do it for Wootstock this time, but I lost my voice and I had scheduling problems. But hopefully, again, I actually have another song that I want to write to do for the next Wootstock.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not going to say what it is, but it's really funny. It makes me laugh, and it's so inside that I think only Wootstock would appreciate it.
Is it Date My Airbender?
No.
Yeah. Date My Airbender.
Wah, wah.
Are you...
You lost your 40 minutes there, buddy.
Damn.
I'll make fun of someone else and I'll win you back.
Oh, okay. All right.
Go ahead, Jonah.
Wait, we only have 4 more hours.
What were you doing at the airport this morning, anyway?
I had to drop off my friend Ben.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So is he a good friend, or is it one of those friends who's only an airport friend?
No,
like,
no, he's,
hey,
a, he's
how's
a good
it going?
Pal. He's a good pal. So, like, I
so you're happy to see him go?
Yes. Yes.
Get out of town. Make more room for us. Yes.
To be honest, it was a long goodbye.
There is a level
honesty.
Of friend, though. Like, you, it's just like, no, I'm not going to take you to the airport. Like, there, the request, it's so far in L.A. to take somebody to the airport, and constant requests, because I'm pretty centrally located.
Boy, that's how we should prioritize the rest of our lives, like airport friends, because there's no gray area with an airport friend. You know they're either above the line or below the line. There's no, like, should I take? It's like,
no.
That guy I do not know well enough.
I'm busy.
Does the airport friend fall below the moving friend helping the friend move?
Oh boy, what moving friend is way higher.
No. That's way. Like, I like for my mom, I was like, I'll pay someone to help you out. Like, I mean, like, moving is
there's nobody
moving,
on that
moving
list.
Moving is the
moving
least.
Moving is just like, if you have a friend that asks you to move, you're like, how old are you? Fucking pay
right.
Somebody to do it.
Well,
you're an adult.
Yeah. If you have a truck, like, if you're an unfortunate person who has a truck in LA, you're gonna get called on a lot.
Yeah.
So, because they're
find
only like
couch
five people.
On the corner. Come on, yeah, let's make it happen.
Once again, how old are you?
True.
It's hardly used.
So, what are the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty insane for you?
Me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, me? Oh, yeah, I was just complaining about it. I had a panic attack last night because I realized I was pretty good. I've been decompressing since production. We've been editing. We've been getting ready for Comic-Con. But every step of the way, I've been calm until yesterday when I realized I'm trying to get a script done before I leave. I have to rewrite the comic script. I have to edit for 2 solid days this week before Thursday, where I leave for Gen Con, and then after that, directly I go to Vancouver for 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm doing another convention in the middle of that.
Wow.
So actually, I had a panic attack, and then I was like, okay, my new solution to panic attacks, which I get a lot because I'm just so overwhelmed, is not to cut back on work. Yeah,
right,
it,
no,
it
no, right.
Is to watch reality TV. So last night I watched Project Runway.
Project Our Way.
Yes.
Project Our Way.
That's what I call it.
Shut down.
I had to shut down.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I think it might be emotional, and I don't mean to say this. I think I do get into a, like, an emotional, like, something is flowing through the brain, like, oh, I'm going to panic now.
So, yeah. It's the fear chemical is flooding your system, and it's the fight or flight response.
Yes.
You have panic attacks.
I get them sometimes, yeah. I used to get them all the time, and then...
What did you do for it?
Well, it's, first of all, I had to quit drinking coffee.
Oh, it's smart.
I had this weird, you're drinking coffee?
A really big one.
I guess like 8 years ago, I was having horrible panic attacks where it felt like my heart was leaping through my chest. And I couldn't figure out why. And then one day, I was taking a sip of coffee and I was like, you know, I wonder if this is related. So I went, I'm not, now it seems so obvious to me.
I wonder
but,
if the stimulant.
So I went home, exactly. So I went home and I Googled panic attack and caffeine and just like millions of web pages came
kidding?
Up. And I was like, holy shit. And they all say like, if you suffer from panic attacks, do not drink, like, stay as far away from caffeine as you can because
it was 8 years ago. Did you Google it?
No, I didn't. I probably web crawled it.
Yeah, web crawled it.
I Lycosted.
Right.
I Lycosted. Yeah, right. I Netscape navigated it.
Did you ask Jeeves?
I might have asked Jeeves.
Yeah.
You know what? I might actually stop doing that because I can't audition. I'm so bad at it. That's why probably I'm here, which is great. I'm glad I'm a bad at it. No, because I probably would have, I never would have.
We've had famous people on this show.
Yeah. I never would have, not here, but I would never would have written my own show if I weren't such a bad audition. Because I would always get, like, it would be me and 2 other girls, like, for so many famous roles. Like, if I look at TV shows, there are so many roles that they went 7 years on a series. They got to be a huge star from a movie that I was literally up against them for.
Right.
And I would have a panic attack, and I would go in, and I would be a blithering idiot. And you could just see on their faces, like, whoa, she was good last time. What the hell?
Right. And then you set in your mind, like, that's the pattern.
Exactly.
And then you can't not think about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for panic, so for that, I quit coffee, which really helped a lot.
Let me sip while I listen to this. This is a really good information.
Another giant vat of coffee. And then also, you know, it is physiological. So you, if you know that it's about to happen, instead of focusing on the emotional side of trying to cure it, I found that if you focus on trying to slow your heart rate down, like by breathing, you literally can't have a panic attack if you can slow your heart rate because your heart is pumping adrenaline through your system, and if you can keep that from happening, then you're not going to have a panic. It's like most people think most people approach it more as an emotional problem, but it's a physiological problem.
Yeah, because I had a hypnotape at one point, and I paid like $500 for that thing. I was like, whoa, it's a huge investment, but it's going to cure my life.
Yeah.
And then I would sit there listening to this weird woman going, and you're really calm. Like, before I'd sleep, and it would give me nightmares. Like, she's over me. Like, and I was like, this is not helping. And it was $500, so I kept using it because I was like, I got to amortize
it. You're going to make it.
I got to amortize it, even though it's giving me nightmares.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, I lost it, quote unquote. It was a cassette tape, so can't even play it now.
So what are you
going
to do? You didn't digitize that shit.
Yeah.
But also, because a lot of people think, you know, they'll hear us talk, and they'll say, like, well, just don't take on so much stuff. But they don't understand. We don't have a choice. Like,
you don't
there's
have a choice.
Weird emotional drive, and I'm sure it has a lot to do with you want, you know, like, we try to avoid spending as much time alone with our thoughts as possible. Like, that's what we're avoiding.
Yeah.
I feel like I love working, but part of the workaholism is, like, I just don't want to sit alone with my thoughts.
Yeah. I think that's why I like playing video games instead of watching TV, which I force myself to because it makes me a better writer.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm not doing anything when I'm watching TV or movies. But when I'm playing a game, at least I feel like, hey, you know, I'm accomplishing something.
That it tricks your brain into thinking you're doing something.
So I'm relaxing and doing
something.
It
tricks your brain into thinking
you're
doing something?
Yes. You're
doing something,
Chris. You are doing something.
Well, no, it tricks your brain to think you're accomplishing something worthwhile.
Like a task.
Yeah. It's a trick. Again, let's back it up.
Sorry.
All right.
But so you did watch Project Runway last night, which I did too. I didn't realize the season premiere was on last night.
I was so excited because two weeks ago, I saw the picture of the contestants. Somebody leaked it to me, and I love. This is the one show I actually will like. I gotta watch it right after it gets TiVo'd, so I can fast forward to the because there's so many commercials.
Yeah, there really are.
Ridic. Anyway, so I was like, holy crap, Sarah Trost is on the show. And she is the Guild costume designer.
Oh, really?
She designed the Date My Avatar outfits, and she also was our costume designer on last season of the Guild. And she left like 2 weeks early, and I was like, what the hell? She left us for another job, and I was kind of pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Turns out she secretly was going to be on Project Runway.
That's awesome.
And I have never known anyone on a reality show, and I'm just like, please don't turn into a crazy person. Because she's so nice. I love her.
So I can show. Okay, we're good. I would think that'd be really awesome if they showed, like, you know how they show the, like, old videos and stuff.
Yes!
That'd have been amazing if you'd seen, like, the Guild
on
there, like, holy
shit.
No,
they didn't. They just showed her creations, which they were great. She's a great, a designer. So I'm like, rooting for her. I've never rooted for somebody on a reality show. I've just been, like, a passive participant.
So let's just talk for a second about, and this might be a little bit of a spoiler, but this will actually go up in a couple of weeks. So I feel like if people hadn't watched Project Runway Season 8 by now, they're probably not gonna.
They're probably gonna, yeah. Except
but
for two people.
In the premiere episode, they pulled the whole this is actually an audition.
Yeah.
You have not done the show yet.
And can we just talk about
that's my Tim Gunn. Is that good?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steve Martin's gay cousin, Tim
First
Gunn.
First of all, I think Heidi Klum literally has had 8 children and she always looks amazing. What is the deal with her body? Is it just
she does. Yeah. She always looks amazing.
What did she do?
My girlfriend is so sick of me.
She dances the Seal song.
That's my girlfriend is so sick of me. Like every time she comes on, like and like designers, I want you to design an outfit for Seal's baby, which is growing in my pussy. Like I always say stuff like that, just as filthy as. And I think Heidi Klum is adorable and charming, and I really like her a lot. But for some reason, she makes me say the filthiest things about Seal having babies in her. Like I can't stop. They've had a litter at this point. They've literally had a litter of children
so
at this point.
So many babies, and she looks better every time.
She looks incredible. Incredible.
I hate her, but I love her.
I mean, her vagina is probably destroyed, but let's not get
it's
into
huge vagina.
Let's probably. Joni, you look uncomfortable.
What?
You're
no,
okay?
I don't know what happened.
You okay?
Started thinking about Seal having sex for some reason.
Not a bad thought.
Oh, let it take you there.
Let it see.
We got a little crazy, Jonah.
Yes,
we got a little crazy.
I don't know what happened.
The show.
They show up and they throw them a curveball.
They throw them a curveball. You're not on the show yet. This is still an audition. But I feel like the show is always they're always auditioning. Really.
Really, yeah.
But they gave the whole we might cut a lot of you after this challenge.
And they've done that like once where they just randomly cut more than one person.
Right.
So I mean, it was not an impossibility, but the fact they always have 16 contestants, kind of like a logical person would be like, hey, one of us is going home, so
right.
Fine, but. You know, you're nervous, you have your suitcase, you just got off a plane. It's kind of crappy to do to people.
And
that's why we love watching.
Isn't how they started the new season of Top Chef in D.C., where they had a bunch of people, and then, like, all right, like, half of you here aren't even going to continue on.
Oh,
that sucks.
Don't you worry.
They thought it was like, hey, we're all here meeting each other, it's the first
that's
episode,
so
and then they're
mean.
Like, now's the challenge.
And then last night they made everyone take the piece of their favorite clothing out of their suitcase and hand it to the person next to him, and then the person next to him like had to cut it up and make an outfit out of it. So some guy was like,
Those are my
$1,070 pants.
I was not sympathetic because who would pay $1,000 for pants? Like, honest to God.
Really? Well, so people aren't sending you pants. You got it? No, I haven't paid $1,000 for pants.
Can't he just make his own pants then?
True.
No, he could. He could now.
Yeah.
But I was interested that they eliminated this one kind of hippie chick. But then other people they kept on, I was shocked.
Okay.
Like, the guy who made the hairdressing smock.
No.
That wore the bowler hat.
That was the worst. He should have gone home. He was stapling things.
Here's why he was interesting, because his bio video was him punching a bag.
Yeah.
And he made it very clear that he's straight.
Yeah.
And so I just thought he was going to come in and just like a tornado of punches and just
and
like
also,
hit everyone in the face.
Is it fair of them to cut somebody the first episode? Because when you sign up for that show, don't you know that you're one of them is going home every
week?
Well,
God, are you the Heidi Klum Defense
just
League here?
Saying.
Yeah.
I mean, come
it's
on.
Not the worst thing in the world for you to go on a reality
show. You're the HKDL?
The HKDL. Yeah.
Here's the thing that I have a problem with. A, that dress was kind of fugly, but the problem was her model. If she had one of those anorexic-looking models, that dress would have actually hung better. So basically, they kicked that woman off because she couldn't accessorize. Because honest to God, that purse and the hair
were
just awful on that
model.
And
the hoop earrings, too.
Everything was bad about that, but the dress. So if she had a different model and used different purse, she would have never gotten kicked off. I think she would have even gotten passed through. So they really punished her for not the right reason versus the bowler hat guy, who, first of all, looked like he was going to, you know, put a handlebar on and just start punching people.
Yeah.
And he was stapling a kimono on backwards. It looked terrible.
It looked like he was going to fight Tom Cruise's character in Far and Away.
Yes.
You know, when Tom Cruise goes down and bare knuckle boxes with those guys.
I'm sorry, so you don't want to fight me?
Punch.
So, yeah, I think that they punished her for not the right reason.
And is every episode going to be an hour and a half or just the first episode?
Okay, listen, this is what I heard. I heard that all of them, they're just going to spend, quote unquote, more time with the judges.
Too
which
long.
Is like, no.
Yeah, there were judge confessionals this time, too, mm-hmm. which are like Heidi and Tim confessionals, which were sort of weird.
I don't know. I don't think I could stand it. I mean, halfway through the season, there's going to be half the number of contestants to spend it with. What are they going to do, a phone call to their family every week? I hate that part.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't care.
I would feel really weird if, like, I was on a reality show and I got to call home. I'd be like, hey, mom and dad. And I haven't seen my parents in 2 years.
It's shitty enough to put someone on speakerphone, much less have them be on Project Runway phone.
What's up?
Do you ever watch Project Runway? And I am nowhere near any kind of clothing designer, but sometimes I watch and I'm like, you know, I think I probably would have put the stitching in the middle. Like, I don't fucking know shit about anything.
Yes. Well, that's why I love, you know, I don't like reality show where just watching people behave badly.
Right.
But I do like things that I can learn from, or at least I could see people doing
people
things that
talent.
I could never do. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. That's why I love that one.
As we sit in the E room of records, which is replete with files of people on reality shows who don't have a specific talent of any kind.
You know what I was thinking also when I was watching that show? Like, if you watch, and I think this is interesting from a casting perspective. Like, I've been watching a bunch of old movies lately just because they're on my shelf and I need to get rid of them. And also, if you compare reality shows and, like, older movies, the kind of, like, the breadth of character actors that they cast, like, people, there's a beautiful, like, range of humanity if you watch a reality show. Because they pick people from all different walks of life. But if you see any, like, every cop show, everybody looks exactly the same. They've all had the same nose job. They all had the Botox. They all have very sleek, smooth. Like, everybody looks the same on scripted stuff versus reality. And maybe that's, like, the appeal of reality shows is, like, there's just a more representation of how different people look.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with just, you know.
Except on Biggest Loser, they're all fat.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's what
I like about, like, when on the show Community, like, all the people, like, all the tertiary characters, like, all the extras, they're all, like, weird-looking people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it's, it kind of brings a lot more, like, realism to the show.
And, like, The Office. Like, that. The Office was kind of the first one to do that years ago, and that's why I think people like it.
I prefer to look at pretty people on television.
All right. Okay.
You think so? I mean, like, I think if most
I'll
people...
go outside.
Vampire Diaries? Do you have a room full of Vampire Diaries posters?
Why would I have
to? Well, Matt's sisters keep Vampire Diaries for reals.
One of them owns a mall in Miami. That's what one of my sisters said.
Oh, really? She owns a mall? Is it a vampire mall?
Not my sister, but a vampire does, according to my sister.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Can we go?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Is it themed?
Are there red roses in the
bathroom? Hey, you guys, I need to go get some shirts from Clothes for Ratu.
Boom, boom.
Blood Orange Julius.
Blood Orange Julius, you are on fire today, my friend. You are on fire today.
Wow.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah, I've been out of work. It's
you
all been stored up in my brain.
40 minutes back.
Oh, yes.
You got it back. That's fantastic. Hey, whatever happened to those old Wurlitzer organ stores that used to be in every mall?
Yeah.
You remember walking by a mall and you hear...
I'll grab a piano.
They were replaced by Thomas Kincaid art galleries.
Oh, is that
no, those are all bankrupt.
Well, they were replaced by them.
No.
I don't know what's there now.
Now it's a new cycle. It's because he went into bankruptcy or something? I've always despised it because it's a...
Oh, why? He's so good with light.
I have a parody that I found at a art show that it was a Thomas Kincaid, but it has hookers on the corner mm-hmm. underneath those beautiful lights.
That's
hilarious. It's my favorite painting because, I don't know, whatever.
Is your background sketch and improv? What's your comedy background?
I did improv mm-hmm. and then I got into a little bit of sketch and then I was in the Acme. That's how I met.
Oh, you were in Acme.
Yep. Were you?
No, but I had shitloads of friends who were in Acme.
Yeah, everybody does that.
Like Adam Carolla was an Acme guy.
Joe McHale,
yep. And my friend Jamie Kaler. Like all these people were they were all Acme guys.
Is it short games or long form there?
I only did short form sketch there. I was at the company. That's how I met my producer Kim Evie. She was my teacher.
And your buddy Will Wheaton.
Yep.
Our buddy Will Wheaton was an Acme guy for a while too.
Yeah, and I actually then before that I did improv comedy with Sandeep and Jeff who play Vork and Zabu mm-hmm. on my show.
Oh, Jeff Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew.
I wrote my I wrote those parts for them because we did improv and I literally could not crack. I mean, I could not crack. Oh, whatever. I was always very amused by them. Shut up.
Yeah, they're fine. Jeff Lewis is great. Jeff Lewis did some of the best sketches at Acme that I remember. He was really fun. And every once in a while, they would do a stand-up show at Acme, so I would, I would.
He's having a baby, which makes me skeptical.
He got pregnant?
He got...
That's a medical marvel.
I know. His baby's going to be...
What's Danny DeVito going to do?
His penis is going to be destroyed.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen.
They're going to cut out a junior. Junior 2.
Yeah, junior 2.
But third. Junior the third in 3D.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. Yeah.
So what's when you were? You know, what's funny is I've said this on the podcast before, but I used to live across the street from Joss Whedon.
Oh,
but said that he's not
when
lying.
He was
what?
Yes, yeah,
it's actually true. So I lived across the street from Joss when he was doing Buffy,
uh-huh.
but I didn't watch Buffy because I was like, teenage vampire show. Then years later, I watched it and. I was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So he's lucky that I didn't watch that show when I was across the street from him because I would
be like
I
binoculars,
been fucking irritating
24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. He's a great guy.
He's I ran into him at Comic-Con, and he's such a sweet, wonderful guy.
Yeah, he definitely is one of the nicest people I know. And I'm still like I've known him for like 8 years, and every time I'm around him, I'm like, hey, Joss, hey, what's up? I mean, like, I've become like a complete, total dork about him.
But he's like, I mean, I remember having these exchanges with him in his driveway, where you know, like we'd both come home at the same time, and then just be quoting Python sketches together, and. And I'm like, oh, this Joss guy seems all right. And then years later, like, holy fuck, he's making some of the best, like, funniest, you know, like, sci-fi, you know, fantasy stuff. And he's incredible.
He has so many – he's a huge Sondheim fan. So, mm-hmm. you know, he just has so many things that he could draw off on. And I think that, you know, that's why everything he does is so rich because he does draw upon so many different things. He's always like – I always think, oh, my God, what is Joss going to think when I do anything new?
How was the last – I mean, what was the – what was it like coming into Buffy, like, you know, like at the, you know, kind of just basically near the end of the show?
It was random. Like, I got that job only because I couldn't, I think, find an Asian girl because that literally, my character was supposed to be an Asian girl who mm-hmm. couldn't speak English. And they actually.
Had a really good Asian, you know, accent.
Right? I did. And I actually, it was between me and this girl, and I remember distinctly talking to her out in the parking lot. Like, yeah, you're going to get it. It's for an Asian girl.
Right. I'm clearly not Asian.
Yeah, and I didn't even audition for that part. They're like, hey, we don't want to give you the guest star part. There was a part in that first episode where she gets killed. The girl that I auditioned to be got killed at the end. She was actually a demon.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, they called up and they're like, hey, we don't cast you as something different. And I was like, what? This is weird. So I just showed up. I'd never really watched the show because
mm-hmm.
I was right out of college. And so getting on that show was so odd and weird because it was just like they hired 5 girls to be potentials
mm-hmm.
And everybody hated that storyline and it was just kind of it was a little weird. We got a lot of backlash and every week one of us would die and we'd all like when we got the script
just flipping through it really fast
yeah we're like oh no Lane died like we go to the last page to see who survived.
That's and hilarious.
Yeah, so it's really – because you never knew. They never told us what they had a plan for.
Yeah.
And I randomly walked in this hat for costume, and they kept me in that hat for like three episodes. So I got to be paranoid, like, hey, are they ever going to take this hat off me? Maybe there's a demon like underneath my hat. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
They wouldn't tell you anything.
Would not tell us anything. So we were just a little cadre unto ourselves, which is fine. Everybody was really friendly. And it was, you know, the show was wrapping up, but everybody was still like really in it. And so I was kind of very naive. That was like my first big job. So I probably didn't know how to act on you know, on a set.
But you were
well.
Funny, though. Like, your character, like, I remember your character as being, like, funny. Like,
I was really quirky. I was definitely, like, the one who was scared. And then in the very last episode of the finale of the show, like, I got to, you know, really kick butt. And I got this really cool camera move and, like, those guys eat dust or something really cool, like... you know, awesome one-liner.
When everyone gets the Slayer power.
Exactly. Yeah, that was awesome. So, yeah, no, it was a great run. It was just a really good training ground to observe other people working at their, you know, peak. It was just great.
And when did you go to your first con?
I went, you know, I did, my first convention was with three other potentials, Indigo and Iari, and it was in the Burbank Airport. Across the street, and I remember seeing Jane Russell there, and I'm a whole movie fan.
Jane Russell
was there.
Former actress and Playtex bra spokesperson?
Exactly. And I was like, oh my God, Jane Russell's here at the Burbank Airport. Like, she was like a god to me. And there were a couple other like older actors like that at this weird like Hilton Convention Center across the street from the Burbank Airport.
Was it like one of those Hollywood...
Yes.
Sign expos?
Yes.
Like, for autographs?
It was so weird.
I so want to go to one of those just to see it.
You'll see some people you just will not believe. Yama Sumac, have you ever heard of her? She's this weird Peruvian singer from the 60s who sings in a weird high voice, and it's just, you got to look her up. It's just weird.
I saw at Comic-Con, I saw, like, sitting at a table, there were a couple people around, and it was like, meet Wilona from Good Times.
Yes.
I'm like, whoa, that classic comic tale.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's a big fan of seeing people sitting down to sign autographs with no line in front of
them. I am.
He was, like, literally looking around for it.
That hurts my soul. Like, I can't, yeah. I feel so bad, because
I don't blame the person sitting there not signing autographs.
Right.
I blame the people who booked them.
You think so?
It's like, I mean, well, what are you going to do? It's such a...
But you hear...
It's such a place of, like...
But you hear so many people say, like, oh, you'll make a ton of money if you... Like, I feel weird. I can't... I don't think I could ever... I say this now, but maybe in, like, 10 or 20 years when if the party's, like, over... Then, you know, I could sit there and charge, like, $50 or $100 to sign a thing. But some of these people make thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Alone, sitting at an autograph table, Malcolm McDowell.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
well,
weird.
I mean, you know, me and the cast do some of these for, you know, the conventions. And to me, like, we're in a web video. Like, this is their big bonus for the year, to meet fans, but also to sell DVDs and, you know, sell headshots and stuff. And, like, I think our fans know that, hey, we're not rolling around. Like, if you're on a series, you're making, like, thousands a week.
Right.
Like, we're not like that. So this is kind of a big bonus for us to be able to meet fans and also, like, sustain what we're doing. And people really know that that's really going to support us directly.
If they know that's what it is, I mean, I because I just introduced ads on my blog, and
you want to try to
let people know, like, this isn't about me trying to buy a fucking yacht. This is about, like, it's expensive to give people free content, and you want to be able to give people free stuff because you don't want them to be in a situation where they have to pay.
What would you call your yacht? What would you call your yacht?
Alimony 2?
I would I would have it be as many digits of pi that could wrap around the entire boat, and so you'd have to read it. 3.14159275897.
Well, yeah, yachts have sails, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yes,
best thing I've ever heard.
Some do. All
right.
There are sail yachts.
But I think as long as people understand, like, this is really just, if you like the thing that I'm making, I need to be able to finance that so I can give you more of that thing. And
no,
as long as you're cool with that.
It's kind of an irony, of what we're doing on the web, because we're not like Kim Kardashian. We're not like allowed to, you know, tweet out, hey, I love these shoes paid for by Kim Kardashian.
I mean, you and I had this conversation months ago where you said, yeah, Kim's audience expects her to sell them stuff to them. So they're... Like, to them, they want to buy her shoes, or they want to buy her, you know.
Have you guys tried that salad at Carl's Jr. yet?
Mm-hmm.
Are you working for her?
I write all of Kim Kardashian's tweets.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
That's a good job.
That's really awesome.
It is funny.
They're
and
all
then...
filed right there.
There they are. January 2010.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, that's what we think about it. And it is very interesting. You know, I can't do commercials anymore. And then basically commercials got me through the last 5 years on and off doing them. And, you know, I don't have any – some actors are snotty about it, but I'm like, no. If I could show up for 2 days and, you know, be able to make time for what for writing and producing a web series, like, why not? But I can't do them anymore. So, you know, it's just really interesting, the whole business and the perception of it and what the mainstream people are able to get away with, in a sense, as far as commercialization, where I feel dirty doing that kind of stuff.
That's why I go to Japan. The big stars go to Japan to do commercials. Yeah.
I could go to Japan?
Yeah, you should do that.
Sankyo Pachinko.
Man, I remember when I was in, I don't know, I must have been like 20, 21 years old, and a friend of mine was really good friends with Alyssa Milano, and he's like, she's a huge recording star over in Japan. This is like pre-internet, so it's not like anything was going to leak back over. You could really, it was basically like throwing stuff into this closet that we're broadcasting from right now. No one would ever find it. You could just do commercials and release albums in other countries, and no one would ever know.
I love her.
She's great.
She's beautiful, and she's really sweet, and like I feel like she does a lot of good with her Twitter account. Like as far as charity,
she's
and
really
stuff.
Altruistic and sweet, and mm-hmm. and I
was in love with her on Who's the Boss.
Well, who wasn't? Everyone.
Girl crush.
Yeah, boy girl crush.
Well, okay, I different kind of crush, but
I liked her in Commando.
Oh,
that's reaching back.
Really?
With our governor. But I would love to, I mean, it, like, you should know, though, that it may not feel like this all the time, but I think what you're building is more special than, like, if you just got cast on a show. And I know that just being cast on a show is kind of cool and cushy and, you know, like a network show is great and everything, but... The audience that you talk to and the people that follow you, I think it is so much more special than if you were just on like a CSI or something.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you
so
know,
I hope you feel that. I hope you understand that what you've created is pretty awesome.
No. I was just thinking about that the other day because I got like a call for a pilot. I was like, gosh, you know what? If I did a pilot, like I'm going to do Eureka and mm-hmm. I'm going to do several episodes and I'm like, this is perfect. So for a couple months, I'm going to go off and be an actress.
Yeah.
And it's only going to be acting and I'm going to be excited to get back to producing and writing.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm not going to make nearly as much. And I'm going to be, you know, those stars, they make a lot of money on those their series. But if I just showed up and was like, hey, you know, did some corner speak every week.
Right.
I would definitely, I don't know, I would feel like I'm not really making as much of my time as I could. Because, you know, when somebody comes up to me and like a little girl comes up and is like, I'm a gamer. Like, I'm like, that would not have happened 5 years ago.
Right.
Without gaming culture emerging. And I'm glad I'm a part of that. So, yeah, no, you're right.
You'd get bored. You'd get bored on a big show. I mean, it's nice to have money and everything, but at a certain point, it's like, well, how much you need? And then, you know, are you happy doing what you're doing?
Yeah, so. I pay my bills. That's all that counts, really.
Don't get Chris or Felicia wrong. They would love to be a part of a big show.
Listen, if Matt Thank Smith leaves and you need a 12th yeah. doctor and you want him to be an American doctor.
American doctor.
Myra, manager.
Listen, hey! if the show House MD needs a snarky foil for House's crazy, angry ways. If Dexter or Mad Men.
I would love to be on Mad Men just because I love period clothing.
Oh, yeah.
Just to do the hair would be fun.
That would be a fantastic show to be on. There's, you know, I was thinking about it today. There is really a golden age of television. There is a fucking lot of incredible shows. You know, Breaking Bad and Walking Dead's coming on.
Walking Dead looks so good.
It looks insane.
So good.
I met Robert Kirkman, and he was really nice, and I was like, oh, this show's going to be awesome.
Yeah, everyone I've talked to said he's an awesome dude.
Yeah.
And, like, they're just doing it right.
Yeah, I love how cable is like really getting it lately, and then the network shows are like, who?
Cable has been getting it though, since like the Larry Sanders Show or even the Gary Shandling Show. I don't know why both of these have to have.
I think after The Sopranos, it kind of like for a couple years, it kind of tanked a couple years, but then now it's like really there's a huge resurgence, especially AMC. Who would have thought, man?
Yeah,
AMC, friggin' Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and
Walking Dead, and Rubicon looks pretty good. I
haven't watched Rubicon yet. Is it?
I don't know. It looks good. I know Zach, so I'm not Zach Whedon writes on that, so I'm. But I'm going to watch it. But I heard really good things about it.
Puzzle show, right? It's like a conspiracy.
It's a puzzle.
Like
it's a puzzle. It's like a puzzle game, like Peggle.
Oh my God, I love Peggle.
I need to.
Peggle's entry level drug.
It really is.
Yeah.
Do you have Peggle Nights too? Did you have Peggle Nights too?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is that like Baywatch Nights? You solve crimes.
Yep, that's right. You solve crimes with pegs and bricks. Gotcha. Where as a dragon, where you can cast.
Everybody uses the dragon. He's the best one.
I think the alien is the best one. I like the Space Blast.
What if Baywatch Nights was?
I'm a fan of the Space Blast.
K-N-I-G-H-A-T. What if Baywatch Nights was Nights?
Oh, and they were actually just like King Arthur era knights.
I would enjoy that more.
that rusted on the beach. solving crimes.
You got plate armor, you're probably not a lifeguard.
It's just like you just see just armor and then just tits coming through. Like that's basically
you jump into the water and just flunk right to the bottom.
Well, Felicia, we're just at about the end of our hour with you.
What?
We are. They go fast.
It goes so fast.
See?
Fast.
It goes fast.
Once Jonah Ray gets here.
Yeah, once Jonah Ray comes in 40 minutes in, it's just like a
downhill slalom.
Let's go over some of his greatest hits. We had Blood Orange Julius.
We had Dance Dance Industrial Revolution.
We've had a lot of fun. we've become like a family, and it's time to wrap it up.
Oh, and Jonah's got a new internet television show, Joe Genius.
I got a new internet program.
What is it?
Joe Genius.
It's called Joe Genius on Revision 3.
It's delightful.
I love those guys. What do you do? What's
it's
your function?
It's basically, it's a clip show showing all the crazy science experiments that people do at home. So it's like clips of like people that like tape themselves doing crazy science experiments. And each show is like, you know, like we have the show that aired this week is about morphing matter. And then there's a one about rocket fuel.
Are you afraid that somebody might like split the time-space continuum trying to get on your show?
If they did, they fucking deserve to be on their show. If they could do that.
Silence is coming.
That'll be a one-hour special. That's on every Thursday. I think that's when they go up. I did 13 of them in 3 days. It was.
That's Denver. How that works. The host reps. Yeah.
I had altitude sickness the whole time.
Did you really?
Yeah. Boy. I got there and I just had a throbbing headache.
Where were you?
Denver.
Denver?
Yeah, I got altitude sickness in San Diego.
I was about to say.
What are we, 5 feet?
What are we? I can see the sea level? Oh, I don't feel so good. I don't feel so good.
You can't bake at those heights.
No.
No, you have to like bake more, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I know, because it was like, you know, on a DiGiorno pizza.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's always special instructions for Denver.
High altitude.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Wait, is it delivery?
No.
Please. Whenever you're baking. DiGiorno.
Oh, okay.
When you're baking.
I didn't realize that. I guess I never baked. And I lived in Denver for 3 years, but I was in high school, so I didn't bake anything. Mm. Matt, are you going to start writing NASA stuff for Nerdist?
I want to. I just sleep a lot now that I work till midnight at the Genius Bar.
What? Oh, you mean are we allowed to mention that?
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really
your will is broken.
Oh, no, you're sad. Sad face.
I went by and saw him the other day, and it's just like he was like literally like the entire time. I was there for like 50 minutes visiting him. It seemed like he was sighing the entire time.
Oh, God.
He loves it. He loves it. He loves it, but they just kind of doubled the workload. So.
I love it.
What? Yeah.
So they doubled the workload, so his hours are longer.
If you're at the Grove today, it's a little busier because I'm not there.
That's why we got to start monetizing this podcast, so we can just pay you to be
God
here.
God help us all.
How can you monetize a podcast?
Easily.
Like, how is that possible? That's-
We could do sponsorships.
$400 from your bank.
We could do like a minute long or 30-second long sponsorship read, and then.
Which brings us to our point. Would you like to provide some ad space?
Have you ever really enjoyed the tall, frosty goodness of a Blood Orange Julius?
Felicia, we brought you here to talk about a timeshare for this room.
A great production house.
So Felicia, first of all, Eureka, awesome that you're going on that show, and you did Goldilocks too, didn't you?
What?
No, did you not Goldilocks?
I did Red. Yes, Goldilocks. Goldilocks. I eat a lot of candy.
I meant Red Riding Hood.
Goldilocks.
Goldilocks.
No, that's the three bears.
Yeah, but the soup was.
Oh, the soup and a little bit.
Tell us about your work with.
I'm an asshole. Yeah, you did little.
I just did ADR yesterday, and that's why I had recovered my voice for Comic-Con, and now I'm not because I had to do like all these grunting, screaming fight. Have you ever done ADR for like a fight scene? You're screaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did cartoons for years. Yeah,
oh,
and
yeah,
you have
yeah.
to scream a lot.
Mm-hmm. So I did that yesterday, and it looks really good. I'm impressed. I mean, my hair looks good, guys.
That's awesome.
I know. I think it's going to be a good movie. You know, for those sci-fi movies, I feel like we did a really good job, and. And so then I'm going to Eureka, which is like one of my favorite shows because it combines sci-fi and humor. So
yep.
I don't know what they're doing for me, but I think it's going to be good.
That's pretty sweet. And then I love that everything you're doing is just in that wheelhouse of stuff that is the stuff that you like to do.
Well, that's the cool thing is that I just was like, I'm only going to do the things I like to do. And then the people who do the things that I like are like, hey, come do stuff with us.
Right.
So it's kind of a self-perpetuating
It does, thing. It does. Yeah. And the more you do it, the more people are going to start to go, oh, she's that girl that we need to get for this thing.
For
and
that thing only, rather than a two-line on Desperate
and then you And then you can hire a team of people to start. You'll go crazy, by the way, when you have to start delegating more because you'll think you need to be doing more. Like, it's been weird to have contributors on the site, and I'll go on. I'm like, oh, there's already postings here. I don't have to do anything. What do I do with myself?
I did that.
All thoughts invading my brain.
We actually had Brian come on and do our guild Twitter. And he took over, and I do a little bit of it, but basically he runs that and the Facebook, and it's like, I have been doing everything, like mine and the guild, all the social media, and I was like, oh my God, am I updating? What's going on? And like, just having, you're right, you get paranoid, but also you have to learn, and this is what I've learned, is when you delegate, you still have to oversee to make sure things are getting done.
Right.
So that's my...
But you got to be careful not to bottleneck it. That's like another problem.
Yeah.
Just like, it's like, you have to like trust the people enough to where you go, they'll do the right thing.
Yeah,
instead of having, so were you up on that?
Yeah. What's going on? Are you here? It's hour three. What's
You talentless losers will do the right thing, right? What'd I say? Why are y'all staring at me? Fuck it, I'll just do it myself. Yeah. Oh, what an asshole.
I'll do it live.
Any sites, links, anything you want to throw out there?
Well, if you haven't seen The Guild, you probably aren't listening, but
what now?
watchtheguild.com. We're in the middle of our season, which is cool. And I'm really excited. We just did a music video. It's going to be out on... Well, this is old, so whatever. Watch our music video, Game On, and The Guild. And I have other stuff that I hope to be announcing soon, but I can't right now.
Okay. But so just the people just follow you, Felicia Day, on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then they'll get all the news.
I also have stuff I can't announce right now.
What?
Actually, what are you like, really quick? It seems like fans
this is something we should have covered in the first 10 minutes. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. No, wasn't here for 40 minutes.
Yeah, for 40 minutes.
I always know it's like online. It's like the fans always like to hear about like what the people we have on the show. What are they watching right now?
What am I watching on TV?
Besides PJ Darway.
PJ Garway. What is that?
It's just a weird shortener that we abbreviated it in my house, so we started calling it. Hey, you want to watch PJ Darway? Like just to try to make it sound douchey. PJ Darway.
It is a little douchey the way you say it.
Well, it's not as bad as T Blood.
I like when any shortening is the same exact syllable count.
It's not really any kind of abbreviation at all. Yeah.
I was watching that, and then I've been catching up with True Blood. I actually read all the books way before Alan Ball even. And I actually turned to my boyfriend one time, and I was like, "Hey, these would make a really good TV show."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Nah, vampires." And it was so close after Buffy that it was like, "Hey, who thinks they could do vampires again?"
Right.
And that's so funny. And then when the show came on, I was like, "This is so dark. It's not the book at all because it's all more chick-lit, the books."
Yeah.
So I was like, "I can't watch this crap," you know.
Right.
And then I finally got the DVD sets, and I've been watching it now, and I really, you know, I really like it.
Yeah.
So I've been watching that, and then I'm watching this thing on Bravo. What is art, or the art reality show?
Right. I haven't seen that yet.
Guys.
Good?
It's a train wreck. It's about artists, and it's like the best artist. It's terrible in concept. China Chow is adorable. She wears the weirdest outfits.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a train wreck ready to happen. It reminds me of all those people in art school and college that you never, after you get out of college, they kind of like commune with themselves.
Right.
You never see them. They go to New York.
They just have their scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a really fun show, and actually there's some really talented people on there, so that's fun.
they have their scene or form the talking heads.
Yeah.
And other than that, I've been playing Limbo. I just got that, and I've been playing that. It's amazing.
I've been hearing great things about that.
You could drown and kill this child.
I got to go play that.
Many ways.
Oh, wow. All right.
It's really traumatic, but it's beautiful and evocative and really fun.
Limbo. Puzzler. All right.
That's it.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Cool. Well, Felicia Day, thank you so much for being here. I would hug you from across the table, but I would knock over all these file boxes.
And she doesn't take hugs. Giving hugs.
Don't do hugs.
Don't do hugs.
No, that's right. We don't do
kidding.
Hugs.
I mean, I did a lot of hugs. I had it was a temporary.
You know, and wait. P.S. It's different if you're a girl. If you're a girl, people perv out on you. If you're a dude, it's just like, hey, nice to meet you. But I'm sure dudes are trying to like grab your ass.
No, nobody's ever done that to me ever.
Really?
Ever. That's what's cool about the people who like my show.
Time for that change.
Matthew's rolling up his sleeves.
Hey.
Remember the policy?
No,
I say that I have a policy, but I pretty much broke it all weekend. But, you know, it's a temporary policy.
Listen, it's a policy, people, so don't even try.
Well, it's Comic-Con. The rules are there are no rules.
Except you can't stab someone in the face with a mechanical pencil. That's one rule that you can't do.
That happened right before your thing went on, huh?
Yeah, it happened before my panel. And then, it was I didn't see any of it, but it was...
Don't have a good story.
It was madcap. I don't have a good story for it, though.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for coming up here, Felicia Day.
Thanks for having me. I could talk forever now.
Well, we could. We could be here for hours. Jonah, you're going to just sit here for an extra 40 minutes just by yourself.
Chris makes me punch in.
Yeah. Yep.
I log my hours online.
Yeah, so just make sure and give me that paperwork.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Just get your W-9s in there.
Yeah, it's
intense. All right. Hugs!
Bye.
The end.
4 hours.
All right. See you assholes later.
Whoa,
jeez.
Come on.
I put on a good show for you. No.
God, and they just throw the chair in my face.
We actually all hate each other. Just...
Oh, the button I hit did nothing.
No, it's still recording.
Oh, my reputation!
It's done now, buddy.
No, I'm a nice guy.
Stop kidding me!
Your dickheadedness is in ones and zeros now,
motherfucker. Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.